Hare Krishna. So we thank all of you who have spared their valuable time and energy to come to this weekly Sunday feast festival. And every festival, every Sunday, actually it is a nice theme to start with because it is a Sunday feast. And sometimes it is explained by Prabhupada that most of the time it is explained that the rational understanding for understanding the Bhagavad Gita is also utmost necessary as we level, as we progress our level and advance to understandings of deeper aspects of devotional service. We find constantly in Srila Prabhupada's themes in his presentations, though he would look up to the sky, give us as the highest ideals of highest level of perfection in devotional service, he would remind us to keep our feet on the ground, that is to keep our understanding of the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita a strong foothold, a strong grounding and foundation. So Prabhupada says, usually we start, we talk of Sunday, then comes Monday, right? Is there any doubt? No. Sunday, then Monday, and Tuesday and so forth, and so on and so forth. So Prabhupada said, citing Vedic evidences, that Sunday is referred to the sun, Monday is referred to the moon. That's how it comes, right? So the sun and the moon are considered very important planets in the Vedic worldview, which the modern scientific community considers to be just planets. So Prabhupada said, challenging the scientific community that moon is farther than the sun. How many of you all have doubts? Raise your hands. How many of you all believe that moon is, okay, moon is a satellite of earth, right? That's what we learn in the scientific textbooks. Everyone has learned that, irrespective of whatever education that you go through. Go to primary, vernacular, science is the same, what is taught in the textbook, right? So Monday is, or moon is closer to the, than the, how many of you agree? Everyone? How many of you don't agree? That means most of you agree that moon is closer to the earth. You actually passed the first test of science, but you lost the test of the Vedas. You scored zero. What does it matter? Ultimately, I have to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I forgot all these things. So it does not matter whether I understand it or not understand it. Ultimately, we have to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Why are you bothering us with so many things? Isn't it? But then, if you believe something, that means you really appreciate it, you value it. Otherwise, why would you believe it? Unless you accept it from your heart, how will you not believe it? You just accept it. Prabhupada said, by logic, Sunday comes first. Monday comes after sun, after Sunday. Therefore, sun is closer to the earth than to the moon. How many of you all thinking right now? How many of you all understood, first of all? How many of you understood? that sun is closer to the earth, then the moon is closer to the earth. All of you must be reminiscing your science textbooks. What was that picture shown in that textbook? It showed that, you know, moon is the satellite of earth and the sun is the center of the solar system. Earth is revolving around the orbit. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Jupiter, so many planets. And then moon is a satellite orbiting the earth, very close to the earth. Prabhupada is just blind follower of Vedic Vedas. Isn't it? Can you resolve this? Can you resolve this dilemma? Prabhupada is saying, he said the moon is far, far away and cannot be approached by so-called moon expedition. This was the basis of Prabhupada refuting that the scientists have landed on the moon. Did Prabhupada want to create some controversy in 1969? Was he in a mood to create a controversy to become popular? As many so-called politicians and gurus, they create some controversy just by speaking something very outlandish, very bold and very controversial statements. So please, try to understand Krishna consciousness in a scientific way. It is not just a matter of chanting Hare Krishna, but it is a matter of how to chant Hare Krishna. Everyone now knows what we have to do, but why we are doing, how we are doing, with what faith, with what conviction, with what determination will depend upon actually how much we have taken to this chanting of Hare Krishna. Anyways, not too much doubt your scientific capabilities and memory. We will start today's presentation. Was inspired by Govind Prabhu, and I seek his blessings. Actually, with his inspiration, I am presenting this very brief presentation which I presented in some of the colleges, some students. And we thought that this is meant for bolstering our faith and conviction in Prabhupada's statements as he spoke through us through his books. So, this program here is, you won't be just hearing some pure katha. It is katha, it is Krishna katha, it is all connected to Krishna katha, but you have to find that connection for yourself. As we guide you through this presentation, try to, we request all of the assembled and mostly respected Vaishnava community here to apply a little thought process as we proceed in this presentation, where we are talking not on a nationalistic flavor, we are talking on a cultural flavor of the Vedic presentation. So the topic here we'll discuss is Mera Bharat Mahan. We are not saying Mera Hindustan Mahan, Mera India Mahan, right? Bharat is a word which comes from the reign, the most glorious reign of King Bharat, the son of Rishabhdev, incarnation of Lord Vishnu, after which the whole world, the whole earthly planet was known to be as Bharatvarsha. And we are just living on this tract of land which is now called as India, as named by the British, Hindustan, which is a term coined by the Muslims or the people living on the other side of the river Sindhu, to be called as Hindus and therefore Hindustan. But actually our real identity is Sanatan Dharma. We belong to the sect or the cultural aspect of Sanatan Dharma, and we will explain why we do not see anything connected to Sanatan Dharma in today's day and age. Even in amongst our lives, we find that culture and that science missing to great extents, because in some way or other, that virus of blind faith in science has entered through the insidious and a very smart, intelligent education system which was systematically deployed to destroy the faith of the people in the most advanced and scientific civilizations known ever so far on the history of this planet Earth. Anyways, did not bore you much with this. Prabhupada said, if you got some false thing, then you have to make a propaganda to make it real. And Prabhupada gives a very nice story about Bhagavat. His friends, Bhagavat, said, all of them wanted to convince that Bhagavat has become ghost, is a ghost now. So how to convince Bhagavat as being a ghost? His dearest and the closest friend must say that he has become a ghost. So he will think for some time, he will see himself, he will not find that he has become a ghost. So he will just walk away and think my dear friend has gone crazy. So first dear most friend comes and says, Bhagavat, have you become a ghost? What has happened to you? He said, I am okay, something is wrong with you. So he's convinced something is wrong with this my friend. He needs some clinical, psychological counseling. Second friend comes and also says, you have become a ghost. And Prabhupada said, ghost, Bhagavat, you have become a ghost. Third friend comes and says the same thing. Another three friends, six of them now. And as the seventh friend is going to tell him that he has become a ghost, he really starts thinking, I have become a little ghostly haunted. At least if I not become a ghost, I become ghostly haunted. So he thinks, maybe there is something wrong with me. And he starts thinking that a ghost has entered him. So then, after a few more friends and most of the villagers passing by, saying the same thing to him, he is convinced as he has become a ghost. He has not been haunted by a ghost. And he starts haunting everyone now, thinking that he has become a ghost. And this is not very easy, or this is not very difficult to understand. Because as we all heard from all of you, that we purely believe that the sun is farther than the moon, then it is to the earth. So we have not only become haunted, but we are not haunting also. Right? Because we express our conviction and faith in the science. But Prabhupada says, because Sunday comes first, therefore sun is closer to the earth, and Monday comes later, therefore Monday's moon is farther than the earth. Why Prabhupada could say that? And why we cannot digest what Prabhupada said? That is the history, culture and philosophy which we need to understand, that why we are not able to appreciate all of those radical statements given in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Okay, so basically Prabhupada said there are four deficiencies in a human being. First is tendency to having imperfect senses. Then is to become illusion, to commit mistakes, and to cheat. And the culmination of all the defect is to cheat others. Why? Because you have to cover up all the first three defects. Then only you can present yourself as being perfect people. And therefore, Prabhupada mostly blasted the scientists and the Mayavadis. Because they not only committed mistakes and blunders while presenting the philosophy and the culture of the Vedas, but rather they distorted it just to hide their mistake and to present themselves as what they were being not. A little philosophical and a little deeper understanding of how this comes about. It is said, truth is the daughter of time. One gentleman said that. To which other gentleman said and added, and not of authority. For 15 to 16 years you have studied the science, you have reproduced in your textbooks, from your textbooks into the answer sheets. And now it has become ingrained in our consciousness. Why? Because we are reproducing it for 15 years. And the most important part is that the early years of our life were impregnated with this condition, with this idea. And therefore, even if Srila Prabhupada has authority, he is coming and telling that sun is far away from the earth, then it is the moon, we cannot accept it. Why? Because truth has become the daughter of time. 15 years, we have accepted it now. Now it has become not of authority. Suddenly Prabhupada comes and says here, this is the authority. Prabhupada speaking is authority. We can't believe it. And that is called philosophy of falsification. over a period of time, even if a truth, even if a lie is propagated as truth, it is to be accepted as truth. So, with all of these things, Prabhupada never condemned the scientists. Prabhupada condemned the scientists about their use and their motivation behind the scientific advancement. Prabhupada said, all of them, they are by their fast movement on four wheels, there's nothing different from the movement of the dog on four legs. And what are they going fast for? To hell. Sometimes you think, come on, Prabhupada is just, you know, just blasting the scientists without any purpose. But this is the scientists warning the other scientific community, one part of the scientific community, warning the other scientific community that human beings and the natural world are on collision course. So that may so alter the living world in such a way that they will be unable to sustain the life in the manner that we know. So I'm just going to intersperse the presentation with a lot of video clips, because our faith and authority is much in the so-called scientific community, though we may not actually accept it as all in all, but still.
In the parts of the temperature, has, this is the present day era, and that's the last ice age.
This is showing the levels of increase in the global temperature.
Back in time now, 650,000 years. That's the period of warming between the last two ice ages. That's the second and third ice age back, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh ice age back. Now, an important point. In all of this time, 650,000 years, the CO2 level has never gone above 300 parts per million. Now, as I said, they can also measure temperature. Here's what the temperature has been on our Earth. Now, one thing that kind of jumps out at you is, well, let me put it this way. If my classmate from the sixth grade that talked about Africa and South America were here, he would say, Do they ever fit together? Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But they did, of course. And the relationship is actually very complicated, but there is one relationship that is far more powerful than all the others, and it is this. When there is more carbon dioxide, the temperature gets warmer because it traps more heat from the sun inside. In the parts of the United States that contain the modern cities of Cleveland, Detroit, New York, in the northern tier. This is the difference between a nice day and having a mile of ice over your head. Keep that in mind when you look at this fact. Carbon dioxide, having never gone above 300 parts per million, here is where CO2 is now. Way above where it's ever been, as far back as this record will measure. Now, if you'll bear with me, I want to really emphasize this point. The crew here has tried to teach me how to use this contraption here, so if I don't kill myself, I'll... It's already right here. Look how far above the natural cycle this is. And we've done that. But ladies and gentlemen, in the next 50 years, really in less than 50 years, it's going to continue to go up. When some of these children who are here are my age, here's what it's going to be in less than 50 years. You've heard of off the charts. Within less than 50 years, it'll be here. There's not a single fact or date or number that's been used to make this up that's in any controversy. The so-called skeptics look at this and they say, so? That seems perfectly okay.
Okay, so you may think that, okay, some Some of them told me that nowadays it is becoming a little less hotter. So maybe there is something decrease in the global warming. A very, very naive and amateurish statement, right? He is feeling it's a nice, comfortable day, and he ascribes that the global warming has come to a limited extent. It has been controlled. But the way that the whole world is going through, this is what we should expect by the melting of all the ice. This is the Greenland.
If Greenland broke up and melted, or if half of Greenland and half of West Antarctica broke up and melted, this is what would happen to the sea level in Florida. This is what would happen to San Francisco Bay. A lot of people live in these areas. The Netherlands, one of the low countries, absolutely devastating. The area around Beijing that's home to tens of millions of people. Even worse, in the area around Shanghai, there are 40 million people. Worse still, Calcutta, and to the east, Bangladesh, the area covered includes 60 million people. Think of the impact of a couple hundred thousand refugees when they're displaced by an environmental event. And then imagine the impact of 100 million or more. Here's Manhattan. This is the World Trade Center Memorial Site. And after the horrible events of 9/11, we said never again. But this is what would happen to Manhattan. They can measure this precisely, just as the scientists could predict precisely how much water would breach the levees in New Orleans. The area where the World Trade Center Memorial is to be located would be underwater. Is it possible?
Sometimes we keep on hearing about global warming and so many other factors, but we are not aware of the implications. Anyways, this is something. With the scientific boon of advanced civilization and faster transport, advanced communications, where practically 80% of our necessities of today are completely supported by petroleum-based products. That means, in fact, Bharat Prabhu had come from Australia, was presenting to all of these things. We are sitting in a very nice cultural setup here where everything is made up of wood, teak. Still, you'll find the fans above you, the chandeliers, the domes, your wristwatches, your shoes, your spectacles, frames, this projector, my laptop here, all are made with petroleum-based products. And all oil companies projecting from their reserves and all of those things by calculation, by the year 2015 is going to be a severe crisis. We may have, as devotees, to be forced to come to the point of simple living and high thinking. And then we'll appreciate. Prabhupada said it. We are followers of Prabhupada. We are following simple lifestyle now. Not we are following, but we are forced to follow. And the only advantage that the devotees have, because they will have some solace from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Oh, I am following Srila Prabhupada and I am opening I was following the right book. I was following the right moment. I am finding the right lifestyle and the right attitude. Everything is seen here by the year 2020. It is all dripping down. There is a nice catch in Saudi Arabia where a person says, I ride a motor car. My father used to ride a camel. I ride a motor car. My son flies a jet and his son will ride a camel. T things have come up. Why? Why the man today is constantly is sitting? Srila Prabhupada says that he's sitting like this man who's sitting on the same branch and is nicely, he's sharpening his axe and he's hitting with more vigor. So why is not getting cut? I should sharpen it more. I should apply more strength. And a person is standing below and saying, what's wrong with you? He says, what's wrong with this axe? So there's nothing wrong with the axe, but why are you cutting the same branch? You are going to fall soon. And this person says, come on. I'm cutting this axe to get this wood, and I'm going to do so many things with this wood. I'm going to advance, I'm going to progress. You're a fool, you don't know anything. Okay, get lost. I'll ask some other person. After some time, he very successfully comes to the, right to the edge of cutting the branch. As the branch is just about to get cut, without even applying a little pressure, it just breaks, it disconnects from the main trunk, and he, along with the branch, hits the ground from 20 feet. He loses his memory, comes back to consciousness after half a minute or a minute or so, and starts seeing what happened, what went wrong. Said nothing. And there was that person who was the person who predicted my fall. I want to see him. He's my real well-wisher. But this is happening after even that good suggestion, that good advice came, he was not ready to accept it. So something is like for the modern man. He's thinking, we have evolved from the most Neolithic. Neolithic means a very primitive ape to a very primitive hominid, that is combination of a human and a monkey, and the man has progressed from the apes. This is Darwin's theory. Though most of you all know about it, we won't go into the deep depth of the matter because it's actually a monkey philosophy and we don't discuss monkey philosophy amongst the humans. Philosophy for the monkeys has to be discussed in the society of monkey. Because this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and not monkey consciousness, therefore Prabhupada said Darwin's great grandfather was a monkey. Right? Anyways, this is what the presentation is based on, His Holiness Devami Swami Maharaj's book, Searching for Vedic India. Very authoritative research, very enlightening, and very, very pertinent, very pointing. And there is no scope that you can ever deny this presentation. And if why do we think that this presentation does not go to in the hands of many people, in the minds of many people? Because the truth is never given a complete freedom to express. And that has been the nature, and we can explain. So Maharaj explains very nicely what people have thought so far, that we always progress linearly. We were so backward. Our ancestors were so backward. They didn't have television. They didn't have washing machine. They didn't have mobile phones. They could not talk. They would have to send a telegram to connect with the people for such a long time and await a response later. Oh, they were so backward. We feel sorry for them. And then we thought we invented civilization. Then there was a conscience development where people came together for spiritual culture. In fact, I was reading a very nice thing too. And people thought about seeking a lasting peace. Let us unite the world together. Achieve rationality through logic and science, advancement of science. Uniting the planet. United Nations came together. After there was a lot of wars, they were forced to unite the planet. But with that, Prabhupada said, more disunited nations came, and the flag started increasing at the United Nations Assembly every year. And all the disunited nations came for the United Nations Conference to create more disunited nations. That was their agenda. How we can disunite more, how we can send troops to these countries and then gain liberation of freedom for these kind of communities. And then finally they thought about extracting and getting the best out of nature. So in fact, we will find that we have rather not invented civilization, we have invented our destruction. Because it is said, that with the kind of civilization that has come today, it has increased its percentage risk of survival along with the expansion. And Maharaj says that what to speak of lasting peace, there are more wars since 1950s than ever in the history of mankind. Achieving rationality to science, people have become more irrational, moral standards are decreasing, people are suffering high level of depression. Uniting planet is absolutely impossible to see now. And actually, instead of releasing nature's energy, we have released the nature's wrath upon all of us. And therefore, one nice author writes, how the civilization progresses. The idea is that we are always advanced. Why? Because this is always put in our mind, that you were backward and now you are advanced by science and technology. So he said, first civilization started with bondage. From bondage, people wanted to come to spiritual faith. And from spiritual faith, they started getting great courage, that we will do on our own. From great courage came liberty. From liberty came abundance, more resources. From abundance came selfishness. We'll have more, we'll grab more for us. All that is there is for me. From once we have so much for ourselves, we became complacent. I'm happy. I'm not miserable. And then from complacency comes apathy towards suffering of other living entities. Killing of animals, slaughtering them, Prabhupada said, thou shall not kill. But all these Christians are maintaining systematic slaughterhouses and killing these innocent animals by the millions. The civilization is a soul-killing civilization. And then from apathy came dependence on all these artificial amenities. If a person does not have a cell phone with him, he feels insecure. He feels, I'm 50% lost. I don't have an identity. Who am I? Even to know his name, he has to save his name and number. My number. Can you imagine this, the sense of identity which has been lost by this technological advancement? With every new gadget, with every new facility, with every new invention, the people are made more and more brazen about their spiritual sentiment and their cultural heritage. And then finally, he said, from dependence again, bondage has come. And from bondage into oblivion, the end of civilization. So, sometimes we find all these ancestors of us, how they used to live and how they were so advanced. In fact, there are so many advanced civilizations which are way beyond our imagination. Example, the pyramids of Egypt. They were 200 tons of single stone and such innumerable stones would be making that pyramid. And they were not just stones put up and lined up like a pyramid, but they were having inner chambers. And those chambers were not just architectural or interior designing. They didn't have an interior Egyptian interiors, Egypt interiors to sell some product to the kings. In fact, one of the nice books explains that this Egyptian pyramid was modeled under the design of the Sri Yantra. And this was meant to connect the earthly realm to the heavenly realms. Was used as an altar for sacrifice to worship the demigods. But we'll see why we don't know all these things. Or why we thought these were like tombs. How many of you know they were the tombs of the kings, of the pharaohs? The Egyptian pyramids, yes? Anything more than that, you know? That's it. And that's exactly not what was. Right? They were more than that. So then Egyptian pyramids and all of those things, sometimes we will say that if they had to construct this, then they had to have so many transfer mechanisms to pull those stones. And how could they construct this is still an unsolved mystery for the most advanced scientists. And there are hints that these stones were not moved by cranes, because there were no cranes. Right? These are 200 ton stones. And right now we have payload cranes or payload which can pull around 1,000 tons right now with most advanced mechanism. We think so. But there were 200 tons of stone being pulled from one place to another from a quarry which was far away. And the Vedic Shastras give how these used stones were built, how these used temples were built. They were built by sonic construction, by using the technology of sound. Sound to resonate at a particular frequency which would move the stones. And exactly in our terms, it would be known as mantra. Right? So anyways, there are a lot of civilizations and I would just discuss a few of them. Some of them were our own civilizations in the Indian subcontinent of the Mohenjo-Daro, Harappa civilizations, which also we learned in our history test books. Sorry to say that history is not history. It is a mystery that we'll discover right now. Why it was a mystery and why that mystery was projected as history. So there is a lot of, there is an Angkor Wat temple in Cambodia, and I will discuss some more things here also. People thought that modern man walked on this civilization just 2.5 million years ago, but sea voyagers have organized sea journeys more than those times. That means there were civilizations which were advanced. Viking longships were found, which would explain as there would be a form of a dragon. And the Greek philosophies, as they would understand, would be told that there were 2,500-year-old remains of pharaonic cities, which were mentioned in their texts, which were considered to be as myth. But what was considered myth 50 years ago, when Napoleon started his archaeological team expertise to find all this, to discover all these lost civilizations, 50 years later, what was considered to be as myth in the texts of the Greek culture has now been accepted as history. These cities have been found. Apart from that, we would like to see a very nice presentation of an ancient civilization called the Angkor Wat. A very amazing and a very beautiful temple which is modeled on the philosophy and the content of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
That the Giza Pyramid, Elena Manika, discovered that the ancient... A journey into this temple was a journey into the mystery of time and mathematics. Pilgrims came here seeking sacred enlightenment. At each level, they were confronted by riddles which they must overcome before passing on to the next level. Just as at Giza, the purpose was to acquire the knowledge that would lead to immortality.
This is the deity of Mahavishnu, or the largest deity of Vishnu, and the largest temple, Vishnu temple in the whole world, is in Cambodia.
An American expert on Angkor, Dr. Eleanor Manika, discovered that the ancient builders had used a consistent unit of measure, which she named the cubit. Her survey showed that every measure here is scaled to cycles of time important to Hindu beliefs. Along the causeway to the center of the temple, the builders marked the first age of Hindu cosmology, 1,728,000 years, expressed as 1,728 cubits.
This is Satyuga. 17,28,000 years. The exact dimensions of this Angkor Wat temple completely corroborate to the Vedic testimonies of Satyuga, the four ages. And the moat is the Viraja river, which separates the material world with the spiritual world. So the whole Angkor Wat temple is made as the Vaikunta, where Lord Vishnu is in the center and there is the spiritual world, which is the surrounded by the moat of water and represents the four ages.
That could be a coincidence. But the site also provides the second, third, and fourth ages as well.
These are the inscriptions of various demigods and demigoddesses on the temple walls.
These walls contain the longest continuous stretch of embossed stonework anywhere. It's a great work of art, but it's much more than that. It reveals as much about Angkor as the hieroglyphs tell us about Egypt. This is a scene that operates at two distinct but interconnected levels. On one level, it's scientific. The other level is mythological. The myth is called the churning of the Milky Ocean. The key ingredient is the Milky Ocean itself, the ocean upon which the entire universe was thought to rest.
The churning post is this mountain in the center that we see roughly outlined, Mount Mandara, one of the central peaks of the cosmos according to Hindu mythology. And it rests on the body of a tortoise, and this tortoise is an incarnation of the god Vishnu. And we also see Vishnu here in human form, steadying the churning process. The instrument of the churning is the body of a great serpent, a Naga serpent called Vasuki, which is wrapped around the mountain. The serpent is operating like a rope that's turning the mountain and is pulled in two different directions by two different teams of pullers, one team representing the forces of darkness and evil, the other team representing the forces of good and light. But it's not a simple matter of one team or the other winning. What they're actually doing, and a profound wisdom is concealed in this, is cooperating towards a common objective. And that objective is to generate from the churning of the Milky Ocean the elixir of immortality.
So basically this is, and more of that is explained of how this is very scientific. All of these things which were made were extremely measured to precision and perfect astronomical alignments, but the whole problem is that why the world does not accept it? If it is so evident that the Vedic culture was the world civilization, was the most advanced civilization, was the most sensible civilization, why has the world, the Western world, supposed to take lead in advancement, did not take any inspiration or did not take any lead to project this as the reality? Because the problem was that all of these Europeans, they wanted to make the center of civilization as Europe. Everything started from Europe and we are the best. And that is what is called as Eurocentrism. And that's why these people, even if they could see all of those things, but they could not accept it. And therefore they found the problem with advanced civilization is that, where is the proof, we are asking? If there are these Vedic civilizations all over this planet Earth, where is the proof? And the idea of evolution of modern man was that it was a very prehistoric human. How could he have got so much knowledge than the modern man? Which challenges the theory of evolution of Darwin and the linear progression. That means everything was very backward and it became forward. And Eurocentrism means everything was the center. The center of civilization was Europe. And the problem with the whole world is that, is very important to understand, is how people interpret history. These are some dry subject matters, but neglect of understanding these intricacies, and not only neglect, but indifference of the Indians at the time of the British invasion. Oh, they are just some British and they would not harm our culture. We are very strong in our philosophy, in our culture.